Okay. So we're on Chav Gimel Amid Beis. We have two Mishnayot left of the Perek. We will finish this by next week. It is almost definitely. I really hope. I really, really hope. I also think that we will. And I'm not fooling myself here. It's basically because, not because I couldn't go on for weeks on this, I could, but it's two Mishnayot about Tarot. And we have two choices. Either we do just the basics and get a feel for it, or we spend months learning Tarot. And since this latter is not a possibility, we're going with the former, which will bring us to the end of the parak, obviously, quickly. So what I've done, really, on these makaros is very basic makaros, and I've quoted heavily from Rav Dani Wolf, who's a Shol Meshev in Gush, and also a world expert in Tarot. What I gave you, some of it is from his Sefer, some of it is from what eventually became the Sefer, whatever I had on my computer. Some of it is the Sefer was edited by a Harusa of mine, a roommate of mine, and then someone else who was with me in Yeshiva, like write-ups of his Shurim on Tarot that we went to years we were in Yeshiva. But
Lichtenstein also
is a safer on Taros, and I put some. So Rav Dani was his go-to person.
Okay.
That he would, when he had a Taros shaila that he wanted answered, he gave it to Rav Dani.
Right.
So that's a good enough haskama for me.
Right.
Period. Right. He, you know, when he wanted someone to paskin on whether Kohanim could go to Poland, he asked Rav Dani to deal with the shaila. So, and he was also the, you know, like the reviewer and the footnote on Rav Lichtenstein's book on Taros. Okay, so the first Mishnah in Chav Gimel Amud Beis, very short, goes as follows: Harechayim shel pilpilin tmeya mishum shlosha kelim. The grinder for pepper can become tamei because of three parts to the kli. Right, so Rashi is the top of Chav Gimel Amud Beis. Right, so Rashi says Mekabelas Tuma. It doesn't mean it is Tameh. It means it's susceptible to Tuma. Al Shem Shlosha Kalim, because of three part. Right, there are three parts to it. Nafka Mina Dinami Ozal Chad Shma Mina Tmeya Mishum Idach Ubigamar Mefarishla. So the way Rashi understands this is the grinder for pepper is made up of three distinct parts, such that each of them can independently be tame. So even normally, if a kli, if a kli is one unit, so it becomes tame together, and the tumah can be removed together by putting it all in the mikvah. And in the case of, let's say, kli cheres, if you shatter it, right, so then it won't be tame anymore because it's not a kli. But here, breaking the three parts, taking the three parts apart from each other won't do anything because they're each independent kelim. Right, Tosus takes it slightly differently, and he says Mishum Shlosha Kelim Perish Vim Nitmaze Lo Nitmaze. He focuses on the fact that if one of them becomes not on the fact that they each maintain Tuma, but the fact that each of them can won't make the other one automatically tame. Right, if you make normally you have one big clay, so if it becomes tame, then the whole thing becomes tame. Mm-hmm. Here they're considered three distinct ones. So Rashi and Tosu take it differently because he says a fil b'shas malacha chin kulin yachad hol v'kol echad roi the malacha bilvado. Since even when they're connected, they each do an independent function. Below dami l'misparim shal prakim. It's not like two parts of a scissor, the ismal shariitni, or two parts of a blade. The hasam him b'chubarim yoser b'shas malacha. They're more connected. So Rashi focuses on the fact, and there are differences conceptually between Rashi and Tosos. Right, again, Rashi thinks that what it means is there's three kelim, is that each of them can become tame independently. Tosos focuses on the fact that when one of them becomes tame, the rest of them don't necessarily become tame. But that's the Mishnah. What are the kelim?
The pieces not connected to each other.
They're not fully connected. No, they're not. I'm not sure exactly. Well, yeah, there's you know, the container, and there's the crusher, and there's the, you know, they sort of like all fit together, but they're...
If they're touching each other, I mean, it can be one degree down, but...
So, not necessarily, right? Kalim are a bit tricky that way, in terms of how they're megabled. And that's what we're going to... Like I said, what we're going to do is we're going to set the basics, because it's so complicated to get everything in. But what are these three pieces? So, Mishum Kli Kibul, Mishum Kli Mitachet, Mishum Kli Kivra. So what are these? Three, right? So kibul is the receptacle where when you crush the pepper, that's where it goes into. And there's the metal piece which crushes it. And then mishum kli kivra. So the Mishnah said, the Gemara says, what is this? Tana. Tachtona mishum kli kibul. So the bottom of this crusher, this grinder, is the receptacle. Emtsoit mishum clay kivra. So look at Rashi. Tachtonash mekabelet avaka pilpulin shenovel derech nikve hamichbar. Right, the bottom one, which catches the pepper. So that's mishum clay kibul. So okay, you know what? I'm just. You know what? I'm not even gonna. Yeah, the picture. There you go. Okay, there's that. The crusher, the top. That you put the crusher, that you push the crusher down with, and then the bottom piece.
Right.
But you know what? I think
the thing with the holes in it.
Yeah, it's the sieve. It's a sieve. It's like it's a sieve thing. And then right. So we'll read through the Gemara, but we're going to have to look at the sources that I put on the sheet to really understand it. Emtsoit mishum kli kivra. The middle is this you know sort of grated thing. Rashi said shehi makefes mechbar mishum kli eitz lo mitama de'ein kibula kibul el chachomim gazru tuma ala kivra mishum aruk. So the way Rashi understands this is that the middle is made of wood, and technically it shouldn't be mekabel tuma, and we'll see why. But basically, it's pshutei kli eitz. It's flat and it's wood, but midrabanan because it's sort of woven. It is tamei because it's similar to a piece of clothing, because it's woven. But in the time of Rashi, these pepper crushers, the actual grinding component was metal, and therefore it was definitely mekabel tuma. Again, for a reason we'll see in just a moment. And clay and elyona, the top part mishum kli matechet is metal, and it's therefore mekabel tuma because of that. Rashi says elyona shekochin shochin gwal pilpulin, right? The crushing component of it tumei mishum kli matlet mishum clay eitz leko letamuyi de pshutein toren el mishum tzipui hatachton sheikor veitz batel etzla. Okay, so what are we talking about? So the rules you got to know. I've given you the Mishnah, and then I give you a chart so that we can just understand what we're talking about. Like I said, you know, we could do this forever, but it's just not worth it. And it is worth it. It's not worth it when you're learning Beitza. It's worth it if you're learning Tarot or Kalim. So the Mishnah in Kalim, the 15th parak, tells us as follows: Kli eitz, kli or, kli etzem, kli zchuchit, pshutehen teorin, mekablehen tmein. So most Kalim, the halacha is that they are not mekabel tuma, which is what is called pshutehen. Meaning a flat, this is not really flat, but pretend this is flat, right? Just like this, right? Totally flat. Most materials, if it's just flat, it's a flat disc that's not called a kli. And in order for a vessel to become tame, it needs halachic kli, a vessel. If it's just material, so material cannot be mekabel tuma. It needs to be a kli already. So in the case of wood and leather and bone or glass, so pshutehen, a flat disc, is not a kli, and therefore it's not mekabel tuma. What is mekabel tuma? Is a base kibul. Is that they become defined as a vessel when they have a receptacle. Right? So once they have an indent like this, so now they're usable for something, now they become, they're susceptible to tuma. Nishbiru, if they break, tataru, then they are pure. Chazar vazaman kalim, if you then make them tuma again, mekablum tuma mikanu lahaba, so from now on they can accept tuma again, but the old tuma left. Hashida vateva vamigdol kaverad akash vkaverad akonim uboru svila alexandria sheishlem shulayin emachzikam varasa belach shem karm biyavesh arei lutarim. Any kli which is big enough that it holds 40 sa'a is not mekabel tuma, because once it holds 40 sa'a, then it's no longer considered a usable vessel. It's considered, you know, basically something that's meant to be mechubar lakarka, or meant to just sit in place, and therefore it's not a kli anymore, and therefore it couldn't be mekabel tuma. Now, I gave you the chart, because go to all the halachot inside will take a long time, but basically, it divides as follows. The most susceptible to tuma of all kalim are things made of metal. And that expresses itself in, right, I gave you the chart here, five different ways. So, to explain what's here. First of all, metal is more susceptible to tumah than anything else because it has a category called cherev harehu kichalal, which is any piece of metal that is used to kill someone becomes tameh, becomes an avi avota tumah, becomes like the mace itself. Right, that is a type of tumah that nothing else can get. Right, except for the mace itself. But cherev areku chalal. Right,
go down one level.
So cherev areku chalal doesn't. Right, that's the uniqueness.
Exception.
Exactly, cherev areku chalal metal is unique. Number one. Is that it has the status of cherev harei kachalol. At the other extreme, kli cheres, which is the least makabel tum of any type of kli, right, things made out of clay, cannot be cherev kachal at all. Wood and ore and etzem are in the middle. They have sometimes, yes, sometimes no. The second sort of axis to understand it is, okay, when they become tuma, what type of tuma can they reach? So only metal, as we mentioned, can ever become avi avot hatuma. Right? So in the world of tuma, the highest level of tuma is avi avot hatuma, right? Is that which creates other avot hatuma. The only thing that does that is a mace, right? It's a dead body itself. Well, let's focus on tuma's mace here. And cherev harei kachal, the sword used. Well, it doesn't actually have to be used, but that's where it comes from. It's true of any metal that touches a dead body becomes avi avot hatuma.
If it's not a weapon.
Correct. This is actually a very important halacha l'maaseh discussion, because there's a machlokas rishonim whether cherev harei kachalal is the same tuma as tumas meis, but it's not actually a dead person. So there's a machlokas rishonim, Rambam and Raivid, whether a kohen is allowed to become tameh from metal, which is cherev harei kachalal. Rav Goren had a weird position, which was that a kohen is allowed to become tameh through cherev harei kachalal, but once he is tameh cherev harei kachalal, he's allowed to continue to become tameh mace, even from a dead person, because his tumah can't be added. And therefore, his suggestion of how kohanim could become doctors was to put on a watch, which is cherev harei kachalal, a metal watch which touched a dead person, and then keep that watch on while they were practicing, you know, while they were, you know, working with cadavers, because then they were already tameh mace from the cherev harei kachalal, which was mutter, and then when they touched the dead body, they didn't become more tameh. Right, now this was very controversial, because what everyone else said to him was, you can't have it both ways. Right, either you're not allowed to become tameh through cherev harei kachalal, or you are allowed to become tameh through cherev harei kachalal, but that means that touching an actual dead body will add some level of tumah that cherev harei kachalal doesn't. So you can't have it both ways, but that was his position, which in Israel there are people who rely on this. Less in North America, but in Israel there are hospitals where there are boxes of watches just sitting sort of at the front. And if you want to know what that is, that's because they're metal watches which are tameh mace to allow
dead man watches.
Yeah, cherev harei kachalal. Anyways, that's what it is.
There's no issur once your person's a tumah mace. There's no issur to have.
Well, that's what everyone else didn't agree with. That was Gorin's position, was that if you were...
Even without the chalafar,
No, you had to be touching it. No, you had to, like, his argument was, if you're touching chalafar kachalal, right, you're still touching that metal, so you're as maximum tumah, so you couldn't... Then, if you touched a maze, big deal. Right, and everyone else said, you can't have it both ways, right?
This kind of, it's a Rolex or not.
You know, Rolex is different. I don't know. You know, that's like Spitz Tumah. I don't know.
But
like,
you're making yourself Tumah L'Chadchila.
Right, so that's the question. Is cherev harei, can you do that, right? I mean, Cohen might be allowed to do that. Maybe it's only Nisar on the mace. Whatever, the whole... So that actually has relevance, L'Maisa. So metal, because of the halacha of cherev harei kachalal, is the only tumah that can reach avi avot.
Okay, is this absolute terms, or because science has changed? Like ceramics now, you can make things that are basically from cheres that can do everything metal can do. So is this absolute, or...?
So there is a bit of a discussion in Psak of how to define new materials. Not so much in cheres as some newer metals and some. There is some discussion about whether this is absolute. What happens if you manufacture things? But basically, this is how it breaks down. There is some discussion about it. So metal therefore has the capability of becoming avi avot through cherei kachalal. Then obviously it can be an av, it can be a rishon. Any other kalim can, can't be an av, avi av. They can either be an av or a rishon. In the case of regular materials, the cheres can only ever become a rishon. The third question is, can any flat kli, right, meaning a non-kli, just a disc, become tame? So again, metal, yes, it can become tame. It becomes tame, pshutehem. As our Mishnah and Gemara note, regular materials cannot become tame in the way metal can. The exception is what we'll see in the second Mishnah, which is Mishkav Hazav. Right, the only time when a piece of wood, let's say, which is flat, can become tummy at the highest levels, d'araisa, is mishkav hazav, is if a zav, right, sits on it. So then there's a special category of tumah, which is what we're going to get to either today, but probably next week. But that's the second half of this mekarush sheet, which is the next mishnah. Right, so mishkav hazav tummy natura, misham she adam misham she tummy, but everything else can only become, if they're usable, they can become tummy, but wood, flat wood cannot become tamei d'oraisa at all, only midirabanan. Kli cheres, which is flat, is not tahor even midirabanan. It's not tamei even midirabanan, it's tahor. Then they have a difference in terms of how they become tumah. So most kalim become tamei by touching the walls. Kli cheres, the only way for it to become tamei is by putting tumah inside. Right, it can't become tameh from touching the walls. Kli cheres, the tumah has to descend inside. You have to take a piece of the mace and put it inside the cheres, and then it'll become tameh. Then, as we saw in the Mishnah in Kalim, what about a kli which is babimida, right? One which is holds 40 sa'a. So there, metal and cheres are tameh, but wood and leather and the like are tahor. And then golmim, is sort of just a blob of material. So that metal is tahor, and that actually klishetav and klicheres is tameh. That's a basic summary.
The golem was unfinished.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, right. Yeah, unfinished, yeah.
I don't know what that explains
it. Yeah, so I don't know what the English word for it. Yes, I don't know what the English word for that is. Not blob, whatever, yeah.
So it's
a kli which is unfinished, I don't know what it is.
I think it's called unfinished.
Unfinished? Unfinished, okay, fine, unfinished. Okay, so that's the basic basic thing. So, now coming back to our Mishnah and Gemara, so we have the three pieces here of this this pepper grinder. So the bottom of the pepper grinder is a wood receptacle. So that's tamei because it is a wood kli with a base kibul. The top piece of it is a metal disc, right? You have the picture again. It's like a metal disc, right? So the metal disc, which you use to actually crush the pepper, is pshute klimatechet, which is tameh. And the middle one, is the like sieve that you crush it into, right? You have the metal disc and you push it through this like grated piece, and then it goes into the receptacle on the bottom. So like you think of a modern like garlic press. Right, so it goes through those like holes. So that's what they have right in the middle over there. That's that thing over there. That's the middle. That's the clay kivra. So Rashi says that's only tummy midirabanan, and that's what you have here in this middle category. Right, it's pshute kliates, and it's tummy midirabanan. Now the reason he says that's true is because it's woven, and therefore it's sort of like a beged. It's sort of like a piece of clothing, and therefore midrabanan, we treat it as tummy. That's Rashi's position. Tosfos is a different position.
Wooden strips woven?
Yeah, it's like a wooden woven strip. Yeah, it's like a. It looks like a
lattice.
Yeah, exactly. So that's how Rashi understands it. Tosfos understands it a bit differently. Peirush Rashi avagav shishal eitz vein lebeis kibul sheinisher baklal mikol makom gazol mishum arug. Velonira, Doloshayach Arug Maestrelates. Tosos says it has nothing to do with being Arug. Ki imbitsemru pishtim. You can't weave anything unless it's, it's fabric. Venir lefaris, begirashel salosos, tegomri rishami, kivershel losos, tmei mishum sheesh la torres klesham, megalas asubin, kon lazik der nakovim. He says it's more of like a net of sorts. And that, the Rishalmi says, is mekabel tumah because it's a kli, because it's usable. But it's not really a base kibul. So we said, really, the reason that this, you know, netting is mekabel tuma is because it's a unique case of a base kibul. It's not really a base kibul. It's not a receptacle in the classic sense. But the Yerushalmi says that a, you know, a strainer, essentially, right, even a flat strainer is halachically tame as if it has a container, because it's meant to hold things in a sort of weird sort of way, right? It's not in the way a bowl is, right, but it is sort of meant to hold it as it's being crushed through, and therefore Tosfos says the reason that this is tame is because not derabanan, right? Rashi says it's the case of pshutei kliyetz, which is tamei mi derabanan, and Tosfos says no, this is another unique case of base kibul, and therefore it's tame mi derabanan.
So there seems to be a difference in what you can see this kli is doing. If you can see, if the purpose of the kibra is to break up the
right, that seems to be Rashi's.
So that there's nothing being held in. It's just
right. And Tosfos is saying that the Yerushalmi seems to say no. It's not just meant to act as the, you know, sort of the other side of the crusher. It's meant to, you know, in some way hold things back so that they can be crushed. Right, you know, hold it so that it can be whatever you want to look at it, right? Or hold the bigger pieces, right, while the smaller pieces make it through, or whatever you want to, whatever it is you think that it's doing, right? Holding it so that pressure can be applied, or holding the bigger pieces so the fine pieces can make it through the receptacle, right? Tosfos is viewing it as a kli kibul, but the essentials are the same, right? Rashi and Tosfos agree that a base kibul is going to be kabel d'oraisa. The question is this a base kibul, which is a local machlokas, in terms of how exactly you conceptualize this kli. What I want to do, you know, more than, you know, get in sort of these nitty gritty machlokas here, is just to set out a framework for this. There are many different suggestions for how to understand tarot, but I'm going to give you Rav Dani's suggestion because I find it helpful. There are, as he admits, there are places that it doesn't work out fully, but it still provides a bit of a conceptual framework for it anyways. And every theory that there is on tarot has its
exceptions.
Yeah, and has its, you know, has places where the theory isn't smooth. But still it helps frame it. So he writes as follows. He says Nechadesh is beracher. Right, he suggests a few, and then he has his own. He said, so the way he understands tarot is that tarot, how susceptible something is to tumah, depends on how close it is to man. Right, man is like the center of all tumah and tara, and kalim and food and things like that are only susceptible to tumah insofar as they're part of man's world. So what does that mean? He said, "Ramata tumah shemashu mikamel v'sedal kirvato la'adam." And the closer something is to man himself, the more tamei can become. So he says, for example, "Klei matechet misham shen adam yoter mikol kelim." Metal is the most useful of materials we have. Heim darshim ramata technologia gvoha. Right, in order to use them, it requires a tremendous amount of technology. Right, we know, right? You know, the Iron Age came much after the Stone Age. Metal requires the most input by mankind. And therefore, because it's the most, you know, human beings are invested the most in it, it is the only thing besides for human beings that can become aviyavot hatumah. Right? Even when it's flat, it's susceptible to tumah. It has a category called cherev hareyu kecholol, where it can take the status of the dead person himself. Klei shetef heim biramah beinayim. Right, all wood and leather and bone and all that are one step removed. Kihem klei ochel avan gam misham shenadamam ki klei avodam. They are, right, things that not. Sometimes we use them ourselves, and sometimes we use them to hold our food, right? If you think about it, right? Sometimes your knife is in your hand, and the bowl is holding the food, right? You're not actually using the bowl in the same way. It's like half a step removed for you, but sometimes you are using it, right? You could have a cup made from it, so it's somewhere in between. Right? Therefore, it has a middle level. Sometimes it is makabel flat, sometimes it isn't. Depends on the category. Kli cheres miyodim laochel. Kli cheres is only ever for food. Is, you know, really, especially in the time of the Torah, was more for food. It wasn't really a, you know, a direct tool in the same way. Lachem mekablim ramach in muchashal tuma. For ochel hu afil yoter rachok min adam ki bederach klal unolo geshir baochel al yedei kelim. Food you interact with through kelim, right? You use your fork to get the food. Lachenu rak mekabel tuman rishon and mashke ofili yoterachok yaf pam adam lo nogev mashke. Lachenu rak mekabel tuman rishon. Liquids, right? Drinks we very rarely touch with our hands, right? We interact with them through kelim. And he says achidosh hazeh yasbir kama tevot bilchot tarot yish gam tuma yishana liklei matechet. For example, metal has the not all, another exception to metal is it has what's called tuma yishana. As we saw already in the Mishnah on Kalim, most Kalim, if you break them and then you rebuild them, they don't become Tamei from the old Tuma. They're susceptible to Tuma again, but they don't get back their old Tuma. Metal is not that way. But if you have metal and then you destroy it, but then you reconstitute it, it takes back its old Tuma. So if you break it and then you reconstitute, Atuma Yishana Choseret. The reason seems to be, as he suggested, is because metal, right? We invest so much technologically into processing metal that we also equally understand that metal can be turned right back into a clay. I mean, think about what we do with metal, right? Scrap metal is something people pay for, because metal, we have mastered the skill. Everyone understands that a car can be melted down and can be reconstituted into another car if you want to, right? As opposed to like your tires, where it can be recycled, but not to make a new tire. Once it's worn down, they'll like grind it up and make it the padding on a new playground, right? It's much harder. Materials which aren't metal, we don't reuse in the same way.
It doesn't have the same strength.
Right.
Plastics, when you recycle, they do not have the same properties as...
Right, and the same with paper, right, that you can recycle paper, but when you recycle paper, it's of a thinner quality, so you use it for...
Paper's more flexible. You're able to recycle paper properly, but not plastic.
Really? Okay.
Is paper macabre tuna?
I mean, it's what is it? I guess it's pshute kliyetz, so probably not. Yeah.
What if you make a little
receptacle? Like, yeah, this would be. Yeah, this sense. Yeah, this would be called. Yeah,
presumably. There's no constant there, is there?
What? I mean, it's.
Or is it more like a?
I don't know. Is this or is it because too temporary? I'm not really sure. Is this kliyetz? I don't know. I guess it is made of eights, isn't it?
Well. Right. It's not eights anymore because you grind it to pulp before you...
Right. Does that...
No, I think it has to do with Howard's question of these new materials that are invented and stuff.
Well, this is not actually new material. This is just, tree ground up. It's not synthetic in the same way.
But plastic is new.
Right. And then there's a lot of shadows about plastic. There's a lot of shadows about synthetics. I mean, that comes up a lot in terms of Nida. This comes up all the time, trying to figure out what's Makabal Tumma. A lot of it comes down to how do you define all these different things, and, you know, if defining these kelim gets nightmarish, you know. Like, in YU, the story that people always tell of trying to figure out whether something's Makabal Tumma was the plane story, right, where normally... Okay, I'll get into I don't like getting into detailed Nida, but whatever. Right? Normally, right, if you find if a woman finds a ketem on, let's say, a toilet, so she's tahora because the toilet is attached to the house, and attached to the house mechuber lekarka, something which is mechuber lekarka is makabel tuma, and therefore it's a ketem on something which isn't makabel tuma, and therefore it's tahor. So someone was called Reb Sobolovsky and said that she saw a ketem on the toilet when she was flying. So at first he was going to say, it's tahora. Then he realized it's not true, because a plane isn't mechubal karka, right? And therefore the toilet on a plane is mechubal tuma, because it's detached from the ground, right? Because it's attached to the plane.
It's not bigger than 40...
40 saw.
It doesn't matter, right? Because the plane, you're right, the plane is different, but the toilet attached to the plane is not mechubal karka. It's mechubal to... whatever you want to call it, right? The Rambam actually anticipated planes, because in Tarot he says, he has this line, he's like, what will happen if one day we have a flying boat, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Yeah, that is not the most astonishing thing we have in Rishonim. That, the Rambam is like, okay, if we have a flying boat. Still, the craziest line is in Iri, where in the middle of, you know, of Hilchos Mechashef in Sanhedrin, he says, and let's say one day, as we know is scientifically possible, we'll learn how to create human beings without reproduction. Right? It's like, how did you know that would happen? Like, you know, that's 750 years ago. Okay. But the Rambam does talk about planes as flying boats.
More of a question like nylon and stuff like that.
You're right, nylon comes up all the time, right? These things come up all the time. Really, really all the time. So metal, right, the amount that we invest into it, and because of its durability, is such that Choma returns to it. And point two, he says, Kelim Shonim Nechutzim Talichei Tara Shonim, in terms of how to make things tar, there are different statuses, there are different ways of doing it. Adam, Klimatechad, Uklishetev, and Haram Mikva, right? The things at the higher echelons, people, metal, certain types of Klishetev, require mikva, klimatechet, klishetev, klicheres, mitarim laide, shvira, that should not be klimatechet. Other kalim, right, can be broken. Ochel, rak, mendek, shum, nifsal, mechel, kelev. I mean, it is. I guess he does mean that. It is while it's broken. Well, I guess that's what he means. Ochel, food, rak, mendek, shum, nifsal, mechel, kelev. Umash, kamodera, filuk, shum, nifsal, mechel, kelev. Food, right, it has to become, right, not just broken, it has to become, inedible. And liquids, don't become tar even when they become nifsal mechil. Kelev, yotze shemashi uter karav l'adam yacholi ter b'derech yoder kalai. So the things which are closer to human beings can become more tame, but like people, can also become tahor. Food and drink, it's harder to make it tame in a daraisa level, right? We get this confused because we think that liquids become the most tame because everything that touches liquid, yeah, we treat, but that's not, it's all zera derabanan. Liquids, midaraisa, can't become tame. Midaraisa, they automatically make everything tame. Xera, because of zav, right? Because we're worried about the roke of a zav, the spit of a zav, which is an afatoma, right? But really, liquids are machsher lekabel tuma, but they themselves can't become tuma. Whatever. Like I said, tara is very complicated and very contradictory also, because certain things, right? Midaraisa, the least tame. Midarabanan, the most tame. Ravdani's theory doesn't fit everything, as he'll tell you, but his basic theory is that if you try to figure out why are certain things susceptible to more tumah and certain things less, so his argument is that the closer you are to human beings, right, human beings become the most tumah and have the easiest time becoming tahor. Metal, right, which is, you know, our most technologically advanced material that we use for everything, is the most durable, also becomes the most tamei, but is the easiest to be mitired. It becomes tar just the way human beings do. Cheres, which is much less durable, and therefore, you know, is sort of removed from us. We use it, but then, you know, it breaks, and you can't reuse it, and it's, you know, a step removed from us. So it's harder to become tamei, but once it becomes tamei, there's basically no way out of that, right? Food is obviously not something we need, right, but it's not something we use in the same way, right? It's at certain, now this is where I'm not totally convinced, right? I would have said, right, yeah. So I'm not sure it's true. I think metal, it is true, right? In terms of kalim, I think it works well. Food is where it gets shakier. In terms of kalim, it's true. The more durable something is, the more permanent something is, the more we have control over it and we use it perpetually, right? The more it resembles the tumah and tara of human beings. The more, right, sort of temporary it is, like cheres, right, which is fragile and not reusable, and therefore, you know, stays within the human sphere for much shorter periods of time, the more, right, the harder it is to become tameh, and the harder it is to become tahor. Again, there are a million different theories of why this works. This is one theory. You can take it or leave it. But I put it there as one possibility. Okay. I continued from later in this article. One of the questions you have to ask is, when we say that cheres is tahor when it's flat, there's two ways of understanding that, right? Like a cheres disc, a clay disc. One is to say it's because it's not a clay at all, right? Halachically, a clay disc is just not a kli. It's just a, you know, it's material. The other possibility is to say, no, halacha recognizes that you could have a kli, you could have a coaster made of, you know, whatever, right? Totally flat, and it's a kli. But even though it's a kli, it's still not susceptible to tumma. What's the nafkamina? Right, it sounds like we're splitting hairs, but there is a nafkamina. So that's what he writes. He says, "Yesh l'sholim klei charis pshutim u'darim kekelim elishahim tohrim o she'enim kelim bechlal." Right. So why is it that clay, flat clay, is not tummy? Is because it's not a kli halachically, or it is a kli, but it's still tahor. So a grid salavachik. So the Rav, I didn't give it to you in the Igor Digrid because I have this typable. I have this, you know, in a Word document. I don't have the Igor Digrid in a Word document. I have it on my shelf. So the Rav argued that the reason that they are tahor is because halacha doesn't recognize their status as a kli. On the other hand, wood, which is flat, is a kli, but it's tahor. Why would you distinguish, right? If both flat wood and flat clay are tahor, why would you say that they're tahor for different reasons? Right, that cheres is not a kli halachically, but wood is. So a malach shal grid banui al anachash kli cheres hatorch bekibol shonem asher kliets. The Rav assumed that the reason that both wood and clay need to become tameh are receptacle for different reasons. The fiya grid beit kibol hino chelak miuti metzem surat kli cheres. Kach shekli cheres b'li beit kibol pshutei kli cheres klal inam kelim. Clay without a receptacle is halachically not a kli. Lumat zot. On the other hand, wood, even a wood coaster is a kli, but it's not usable in the way that it needs to be usable to become tameh. What's his raya? So a grid hevi kama raya lakach. So v'natzia shtayim, and I think I only gave you two of them. Right? The Rav had two proofs for this. But before we get to his proofs, why did I bring this up? I bring this up because this may be the machlokas Rashi and Tosvos in our Gemara. Right? Tosvos is willing to accept under certain circumstances flat wood is tame daraisa if it functions as a receptacle, even if it doesn't have a receptacle. Right? Rashi isn't. Right? And this may be the machlokas Rashi and Tosos. If you think that something needs an actual receptacle, or it's not even a kli, no matter what it does, it's just an objective statement, that what wood without a receptacle is just halakhically out of the world of kelim, so then you come to what Rashi says, which is, sure, it functions as a base kibble, sure, it has use, but it's a flat piece of wood. Midaraisa, it's flat piece of wood. Doesn't matter if it's useful. This is an objective decision by the Torah. Flat wood isn't a kli. If you find that flat wood is a kli, it must be midarabanan. Tosua says no. Flat wood needs to have a base kibble because it needs to have a certain level of functionality. But if, as he claims the Yerushalmi says, when you create a lattice structure in wood, even without a receptacle, it basically functions as a receptacle, so then we could do away with it, because it's not that you actually need a base keyboard, you need a kli, right, that functions as having a base keyboard, but it was a kli all the time. So I think that may be the machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, and part of the machlokas we mentioned before, right, it's clear that part of the machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, is how do you view this lattice structure, right, is it just allowing the pepper to go through, or is it what's holding the bigger pieces? But part of the mechlokas may also be how essential is a base kibble? Is a receptacle definitional to the kli, and therefore, no matter what function it has, if it doesn't have that, sort of receptacle structure, then it's just not a kli. It doesn't matter what you do to it. Or do you say no? It's base kibble is just to make it a usable kli, and therefore if you have something which is the functional equivalent of a receptacle, so then it'll be mekabel tuma, and that's what Tosu says.
Okay. When you look at your chart, your chart says mitafanot, like from the walls of it, and bifnim. So on a wood, you're able to atame it from the walls. So therefore, even if there's no beit kibble, so to speak, it should be able to come to...
No. It needs to be a kli, and then it can become if you touch the outside. But if it's not a kli, it won't become tameh.
If a flat piece of wood is a kli...
If it's a kli, correct.
Then it should be able to become tameh doraita.
Correct. But if it's not a kli, then it won't be. Right? I mean, it needs to be a kli. Once it's a kli, you can be tameh by touching the wall. But it needs to be a kli.
Right. And then applying to the cheres that is flat... can be a kli, but still can't become tameh because it has no bay kibul.
Right.
So you'd be able to interpret in that way, that a flat cheres is still a kli.
Well, you could, or you could just say that it's not. Right, I mean, you could say it's a function. You're right. You could say it's a technicality of the fact that it's metameh only mitocho. Okay, the Rav had two rayas for it. The first one is tumas pshute kli eitz midaraisa. So the first one, and this is why I bring it, is what we just said. Is this question of can you have any case midaraisa pshute kliyetz, which is metame? So a Torah's kohenim doreshe pshute kliyetz shem mishamshin heinadam veheinam mishamshav kigon sholchon veheinam tmeim. So the sifrei tells you the Torah's kohenim, the sifrei tells you in no uncertain terms a table is mekabel tumah midaraisa, even though a table is flat, it is undeniably a kli, and therefore. You see, just like you saw in Tosfos, that it's not really about it being having a base kibul, it's about it being functional. One way of wood being functional is by having a base kibul. Another one is by being a table, right? There are other ways that wood becomes functional. Harambam, he ventured Rosh Hashanah, he knew Asmachta. The Rambam only understands this is Derabanan. Vatoma Hirak mi Derabanan. Ach bitosvos uviramban. And if you can say that wood becomes tami midaraisa even when it's flat, as long as it's functional, so that tells you that a wood kli, even when it doesn't have a base kibul, is a kli midaraisa, and base kibul is a technicality, that it needs to be functional. Kach she midavi yishlam tashmish acher megalom tumah biladav. Ulam bepshute kli cheres, but that's not true by clay. Lo yal al dat she megalom tumah. No one says that they become tameh. Afil midrabanan, even derabanan, they don't become tuma. Kasher nemar furish b'mishnah, it's a mishnah. Uviram bam the Rambam pasim that lalacha lachora peir shu shepshute kliyetz klal inam kelim. The reason seems to be that objectively halacha has excluded flat pieces of clay and pottery from the status of tuma and kelim. Mele in makam tuma shum panim bofen. Therefore, it doesn't matter how functional they are; they're always tahor. There's like a gzeras hakasuv that they are excluded, but wood is not that way. And so you see that our Tosfos follows that Tosfos. Our Tosfos, just like that Tosfos, is willing to entertain a possibility that sometimes flat wood is mekabel tumah as long as it's functional. Right? Rashi isn't willing to accept that. He said tochanikar. Harambam omer shekli cheres she'ein lahem tochanikar nechshavim plude kli eitz ve'ein mekabel tumah. What happens if something has a receptacle, but it's so slight that you barely see it? Right? Like, there is a groove. Like, let's say you're looking at this plate. Forget this part of the plate. Just this part of the plate. Right? There is, like, a little bit of an indent, but you barely notice it. Right? Like, it is a little bit groove. There is a... Is that enough? So the Rambam says that in the case of cheres, it's not tameh. V'ilu b'kliyetz toch great in echshel v'es kibul. But the Rambam says that by wood, that is tameh. Right? If wood has even a slight indent, right? So then... You know, and it's a receptacle in any way, shape, or form, it's tameh. By cheres, it's not enough for it to have to be theoretically a receptacle. It needs to be tochanikar. It needs to be look at it. You look at it and you see that there's an indent that can hold things. Vein zar tochanikar. Hagrid his beer should be kli eitz hatoch hainu tnai b'tafkid b'tashmisha kli. B'tifkud utashmisha kli umele in zarch b'kach shi nekar by wood. The reason you need a base kibul isn't because you need a base kibul, it's because you need it to be functional. And therefore, as long as it is functional, so it doesn't matter whether you notice it or not. If it is functional, it's functional. But when it comes to clay and pottery, halacha defines flat or flat-ish pottery as non-kalim, and therefore tower. And therefore, it's not enough that it's technically functional. It has to be something you look at and it stares you in the face. Mm-hmm. So I think that...
Why would anybody bring up the idea that the difference between kleis and becheres is for a kli cheres to become tame, to be nitma, it has to be only mitochu.
Well, right, so that's what Howie just said, that it could be that... But the question is, which is first, the chicken or the egg, right? Is it that, right... Is it that this is all a technicality? The Torah defined kli cheres as only being mekabel tumah if it has a toch, and therefore, in order to become tame, it needs a toch anikar, or is it the other way around? The Torah said that kli cheres isn't defined as a kli until it has a really usable inside, and since that's what you need to define as a kli, right? That's the only place where it can become tame, because that's, you know, right? Which began it? Was it the halacha started with Xeris HaKosov that it only becomes tame from the inside and therefore the inside became important halachically? Or is it the inside is important halachically because that's what makes it a kli and that's why it's the it's the way that it becomes tame, right? That's always the question, is which conceptually came first? I don't know the answer to that, right? There's no way of knowing the answer to that, but I think that's what people would suggest. So again, I just wanted to give this as a sort of a background to Tuma and Tahara. Again, just the facts on the ground to note that, right, metal is the most mekabel tuma, both in terms of shape, in terms of how tame it can become, and it's also the easiest to become tahor. Cheres is all the way to the other extreme. It only becomes tame from the inside. It's very hard to be metaher once, you can't be metaher, you can only break it once it becomes tame. And then you have all the wood and ore and etzem, which are in the middle. Rivdani's suggestion, which again you can take or leave, is the things which are more within the human sphere, are closer and more usable and more durable, are more like humans, more susceptible to high levels of tumah and easier to be metame as you move sort of out of the sphere of human beings. So they become less susceptible to tumah and harder to become tahor. The second thing we dealt with was why is it that wood and cheres need to have a receptacle? So there's two ways of understanding it. Either they need it because without a base kibbol they're not functional, and therefore, but if you could create a case in which they're functional without a receptacle, they might be tameh. Or without a base kibbol, are they just halachically not called kalim at all, and therefore no matter what happens, they are tahor. Ray Soloveitchik suggested that question is actually different for wood and for pottery and for clay. For wood, a wood flat kli is in fact a kli. It's just that there's a technicality that it needs to be useful in a certain type of way to be mekabel tuma. At the other extreme, cheres, if it's flat, it's not halachically significant at all as a kli, and therefore it can't be mekabel tuma. The nafka minas he notes are that the Toras Kohanim suggests that a wooden table is tamei. While the Rambam thinks that's Derabbanan, both Tosfos and the Ramban entertain the possibility that it's Doraisa, which already tells you that at least in the case of wood, being flat isn't a definitional exception to Tumah. It's just usually wood needs a receptacle to be useful. But if it could be useful objectively for other reasons, like it's a table, it would be Tamei. By Cheres, it's an explicit Mishnah that's not true. That's Nafkamina 1. Nafkamina 2 that he had was Tohanikar, was... When we say you need it to have a receptacle, does that mean, like, technically you need to look at it and there's an indent? Or does it need to be that, if you look at it under a microscope, it has an indent? Or does it have to be something? You look at it and you say, this is a bowl, right? This is, you know, a plate with a rim, right? It's not flat. So the Rambam distinguishes, again, between wood, where any indent is going to be enough, and cheres, where it needs to be recognizable, it needs to be significant. And I suggested that perhaps one way of understanding the Machlokas Rashi Tosfos here, you know, when you have this middle part of the pepper grinder, which is in this lattice structure, which is clearly useful, right? It is part of the crushing process. It holds the big pieces on top while allowing the fine pieces to go through, right? It is functioning in a certain way, even if it doesn't have a receptacle in a classic sense. So Rashi says, well, it's not tame. Because I think Rashi takes the position, one possible way of understanding Rashi is that Rashi takes the position that a flat piece of wood is halachically not a kli, no matter what happens, no matter how functional it is. And Tosfos, based on the Yerushalmi, says it's not true. A flat piece of wood is normally not mekabel tumah because it's normally not useful. But if it is useful, then it is useful. Of course, the other way of understanding it, the way Sam said it before, which is maybe they're just arguing locally. What is the function of this lattice structure in the middle? Is it simply to allow things through, and therefore it's not a base kibul, right? Or do we say, no, part of its function is to hold things in place so they can be crushed, so the bigger pieces stay on top, in which case, even though it's flat, it's functioning as a receptacle, which normally flat things don't, but in this case it does, in which case maybe it's a very local machlokas.
Why would you have to say that? In other words, we've already said a table, which is flat and has a purpose, is a kli.
Well, no,
so
that's what,
this piece, regardless of whether it holds objects or not, if it serves a purpose...
No, so that's what I said, is I would tend to suggest that Tosa's position is based on that Sifrei-like position, that a kli, that by wood, all that you need is that it's defined as a kli. But if you wanted to understand Tosa differently, you could understand Tosa saying, no, Tosa's and Rashi both agree that something can't be tame without a base kibul. It's just... The question is this a base kibul or not? My first suggestion, or I think actually is my second, but the suggestion I'm putting forth from the Rav is exactly what you're saying, is that maybe the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos is, do you accept this theory? That wood doesn't need a base kibul, wood just needs to be functional, right? And therefore, this is basically a base kibul, and therefore it's fine. Now, the truth is that Tosfos, based on the Yerushalmi, does seem to be focusing on the notion that it is a base kibul, that it has a base kibul, and which might lead you to the second explanation, that it's not just that it's a kli. He's saying it's not that it's a kli, it's that it has a base kibul, that this, even though it's flat, it functions as a receptacle in some way, shape, or form, and therefore is halachically a kli. The last point we talked about is this, you know, this question that came up with cheres, right? Is the reason that cheres needs more of a toch because it's only tame from the inside, right? Or right, but then the chicken and the egg question, right? Is it that the Torah starts with Gzeiras HaKasuv, that cheres only becomes tame from the inside, and that's why it needs an inside? Or is it the other way, that since cheres only becomes defined as a kli when it has an inside, that's why the Torah was then mechadesh, that it only becomes tame when you touch it on the inside? It's all a function of the definition of the kli. I don't know if there's a way of answering that, but it's definitely two ways of looking at it.
This middle kibra thing, if it was made out of clay, although it's technically possible to have a kibra made out of clay,
would be tower, I think.
Well, according to Rashi, it would be...
Maybe Derabanan. Maybe Derabanan. But he's not clear.
Well, it also has an Arif type of approach.
Correct, but it's not clear, right? It's not clear how he would take it. It doesn't tell you what would happen if it was clay.
Right.
I mean, there could be a Rashi somewhere else in Chas, I don't know, but that's very possible.
The way you're analyzing it and making it depending on, for example, it doesn't matter if a Klee Cheres has a bit of a Klee Kibul function, it has to have really a Toch. So then, according to Tosfot, it would be completely different to a Klee Cheres because it doesn't have really a Toch.
Correct, right, and this would depend, right? Could you theoretically move, you know, would this be applicable to Cheres? Depends on how you would analyze this whole.
You can never make it functional if it's flat.
Right. I mean, I guess if you made a lattice structure out of it, maybe you could. I don't know. I mean, halachically, I think we would say it's tahor. But could rot?
Like you go in the little holes and stuff like that.
What do you mean in terms of that? Yeah, I guess it wouldn't have a toch. Right, in that sense, it wouldn't have a toch. But maybe I don't know. Maybe you could. Yeah, it wouldn't. At least definitely wouldn't have a toch on Ikar. Right, if it's a lattice, it's not a toch on Ikar in any way, shape, or form.
It looks like an arif.
Right, according to Rashi, you could entertain the possibility that maybe there are banan if it's you know. If you sort of weave it, I don't know if we can even do that in cheres. I guess we could do anything with it. Yeah, nowadays, artificially, we could do anything. So, you know, I guess maybe Rashi would say, I do not claim to know whether Rashi somewhere else in Chas contradicts the possibility that it could be Tamei Derabanan. He could. But at least it's something we could entertain. Okay, so that's just a little bit on the introduction to Taros. Next week, we'll do the second Mishnah and do the Tumah of Mishkaf Hazav. And that'll take us... it looks a bit longer, but really, the Tumah only goes about four lines in, and then it reiterates the Machlokas of Psikresha, the Machlokas between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda, which we did in the previous Amud, which I'm not going to go back to. We just did it, you know, whatever, 3 weeks ago. So we'll read through the Gemara to finish the Perek, but we will finish the Perek, I think, next week. You see, it's less than a page of Makoros. We could, I guess. We can have him see him on it, and then we'll move to the next parak.
Back for the more parts. So why are the three not coming? In other words, why are they considered three separate parts?
So again, that's the machlokas we saw Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi just says, right, that they become tame separately because they are each functional independently. He doesn't weigh in on what happens if they're all attached and then you touch it. Presumably, it could all become tame at once. Tosfos says, no, they are three totally different kelim which you happen to use together. That's how halachically they're viewed, and therefore, touching one doesn't make the other tame. Rashi sounds like it would make it tame, right? They're three parts of one kli which could function separately and therefore could be tame separately. Tosfos says, no, they're three separate kelim that happen to function together, and therefore they're never mitame each other.
Oh.
Right, meaning, right, Rashi, again, right, Tosfos says that they are three totally different kelim. That's what the Mishnah is telling you. They just happen to be used together. And therefore, when you touch one, it'll never be metame the rest. Rashi says, no, they're really one kli, but they're, it sounds like it anyways, they're, but they're independent enough such that if you, even if they were separate, they would be enough of a kli that they could become a tumah. But it sounds like while they are attached, if you touched, you know, part of it, the whole thing would become tame. Right, Tosfos says that's not true. Again, I don't know enough about the grinder to understand exactly why you would view this as three kelim used at once or one kli with three parts. I don't, you know.
Right.
I'm not an expert in ancient.
Ancient
kitchen.
It's not matama. Right. I was just trying to think of how to apply it to modern.
Right, machine. So kelim to kelim is a bit.
You would have to know how it's put together with a snap together.
Yeah, exactly. You'd have together. To. Yeah, but kli to kli is more complicated. But that, right. But one part, the part of one kli, then everything becomes tame. When it's different kelim, that's
different
when. That's when you get it. So then it's then it gets, you know, complicated how tuma does transfer, but.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So.